It was a hard time to be one of Jesus' disciples. Imagine how it must have felt as your life went through unbelievable ups and downs. You had gathered with your friends to celebrate the festival of Pentecost, as you probably had many times before. Pentecost was a long-standing celebration that took place 50 days after Passover. During Pentecost, also known as the Feast of Weeks, Jews presented the best grain from their early harvests, celebrated God's abundance in their lives, and commemorated Moses receiving the law from God on Mount Sinai. It was usually a joyful time where Jews from all over flocked to Jerusalem to celebrate. But as one of Jesus' disciples, you might not have felt much like celebrating this year. You'd been through so many emotions in the past 50 or so days. Despair and fear over the arrest, trial, and death of the teacher you gave up your life to follow. Doubt, amazement, fear, and joy when you discovered he was alive again. And probably some confusion about what to do next when he ascended into heaven 10 days before and left you behind alone with the perplexing instruction we talked about last week to wait in Jerusalem to be equipped for the work of spreading the good news to all nations. You might have awakened that morning with some confusion and frustration as you wondered just how long you were going to have to wait. So you did what your teacher Jesus had taught. You prayed together with your friends, asking God to guide your steps. And suddenly God responded, but probably not in the way you were expecting. With a rush of wind and tongues of flame, everything changed. The imagery of Pentecost is strong and emotional and very different from our everyday experiences. Divided tongues of fire rested on each of the disciples, and a sound like the rush of a violent wind filled the entire house. As a one-time long-distance bicyclist, I've experienced some strong winds. Many summers ago, riding the bicycle ride across Georgia with some friends, we rode directly into Tropical Storm Andrea one day. The first 15 miles of the 55-mile ride were smooth and easy, and then the storm hit. And in a moment, that ride changed completely. My riding buddy and I stopped, zipped on the rain jackets, and hunkered down for a wet, windy ride. And it was one of the most enjoyable bicycle rides of my life. Once we were soaked through, we really couldn't get any wetter. And riding in that wind was a powerful reminder that I'm not the one in control of my life, that there are things in my world that I just cannot change. All I could do was adapt to the wind by maintaining my balance, keeping my feet anchored to the bicycle, and just continuing to pedal. The rushing wind changed my focus. Instead of riding along casually, chatting with my friend, wondering if they'd have my favorite cookies at the next rest stop, I had to respond to the challenge of the wind by pushing my body harder and paying more careful attention to the world around me. In that ride, I saw and felt the different ways that wind can stir up the world around us. I arrived at the end of the ride exhausted, soaked, a little cold, and energized for the next day's ride. The wind the disciples encountered on that day of Pentecost wasn't a gentle little breeze that just sort of ruffled their hair. It was a full-on gale of wind that roared through the house, loudly enough that many of the Jews gathered in Jerusalem for Pentecost came to see what was going on, and it probably took their breath away. It's not the kind of wind they could ignore. They had to pay attention to adapt their lives and move forward. The wind of the Holy Spirit was at work in them, and suddenly their lives were reshaped with new energy and purpose, with new visions and dreams for their ministry. They found their voice and their energy and their drive, just as Jesus had promised. And the wind of the Spirit inspired the disciples to act. Without stopping to think about it first, they began to preach the good news, not just in their own language, but in the languages of all the different people gathered around them. The people were excited and inspired by what they were hearing. In just one day, About 3,000 people heard and believed that Jesus was the Messiah and committed themselves to this new Christian movement by being baptized in the name of Jesus. And those baptisms were just the beginning for these new believers. They started meeting together to pray and eat. They took care of each other. They shared their belongings. They went out to other places and preached what they had heard. And they continued to bring new believers into the faith. The day of Pentecost was a rebirth, almost like a second resurrection. With a rush of wind and tongues of fire, the Holy Spirit moved among the early Christians in surprising ways, inspiring them to new visions and dreams, giving them the power that Jesus had promised before he ascended into heaven, and leading them to act out their faith. It's an inspiring story, but it's a long way from the sanctuary today. Our chancel is draped in red, we've got flames, some of us are wearing red in honor of Pentecost, but we don't have any burning flames that are not controlled, no violent wind, at least so far. So how can the story of Pentecost speak to those of us gathered here at First Christian Church in Lawrenceville, Georgia, today at the beginning of summer 2023? Like the disciples, we've been through some emotional ups and downs as a congregation over the past few months. We've spent several months in the in-between time as we wait for an interim minister to join our church family. We've continued to move forward as a congregation in this time, but it still feels a little like we're in the wilderness, a time of uncertainty and transition as we seek God's path forward for our congregation. In this uncertain time, the story of Pentecost can offer us all hope and guidance. The first thing the Pentecost story teaches us is that we are not alone. All followers of Christ in all times and all places are sometimes faced with events that push us in directions we don't understand. But remember that those winds of change that challenge and frighten us are also a sign that the Holy Spirit is here with us and is active in our lives as a faith community. Jesus himself reminds us that where two or more of us are gathered in his name, he is with us. During this time of transition, it's important for all of us to stay anchored in the faith that the God we worship is a God of abundance and grace, and that our God has a mission for each of us and for this community of faith gathered here. The Spirit is moving among us and doing good things through us, right here and right now. And God has good things planned for us in the future. Some of you may feel challenged in a different way by the Pentecost story. You may be searching and hoping for that mighty rush of wind or those tongues of fire that signal the presence of the Holy Spirit. Especially in this in-between time, you may be hoping to catch that undeniable message from God that says, "Here is what I have planned for the people of First Christian Church in Lawrenceville, Georgia." We all hope for that moment of clarity, that rush of wind. And sometimes we're disappointed or discouraged when we don't experience it. But that's not always how the Holy Spirit works. Have you ever had a mountaintop experience in your faith? Many of us can point to a time when we felt the presence of God very immediately, when we were energized and on fire for God, just like the disciples were at Pentecost. For many young people, this kind of experience happens at church camp or CYF conference or another special event like regional youth assembly. You're in a different place, you're exploring your faith in new ways, and the Spirit moves through you. You leave the event excited and inspired to do new things for God. I had one of those mountaintop experiences the first time I attended the General Assembly of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. The meeting was in Denver, Colorado. The year was 1997. I had just accepted a new job in Georgia and was only weeks away from moving here, and my whole life was in transition. Three of my dearest church friends and I had made the two-day drive from Minneapolis, stopping to camp overnight in the Badlands of South Dakota on the way. By the time we got to the opening session of General Assembly, we'd already covered several hundred miles across four states and had seen some of the most amazing natural landscape. And then we arrived at worship, a little late because we had to set up our camp beforehand, just in time for more than 5,000 people to stand together and sing Christ the Lord is risen today in preparation for communion. And I had my own rush of wind, my own excitement, my own visions of who the church could be. I skipped through the rest of that general assembly, filled with excitement, filled with passion, collecting ideas I could take to Georgia. And suddenly moving to a new community and a new church family didn't seem quite so scary. I felt clearly the presence of the Spirit within me. Mountaintop experiences, like my time at General Assembly, or the joy of a closing friendship circle at Camp Christian, give our faith lives energy that sustains us. The challenge is that when we return to the real world filled with passion, everyday life seems sort of dull and ordinary by comparison. Living out our faith might be easier if the Spirit showed up in a mighty rush of wind, or tongues of flames on our shoulders or our head, or we suddenly had a new ability to speak in different languages, or to make sweeping changes to the world around us. We would have to sit up and pay attention to God's call in our lives. But these mountaintop experiences excite and energize us in our faith because they're not everyday events. Even the disciples didn't experience the presence of the Holy Spirit with wind and fire after Pentecost. The Spirit is still with us in our everyday lives, but we experience it more like that quiet summer breeze that can stir us gently into action. So don't despair if you're not feeling the roaring of the Spirit in your own life right now. That still, small voice of God is easy to overlook, and you may have to be quiet to feel the Spirit moving within you, but it's there. Jesus himself promised the Holy Spirit as a helper to remind us of everything he taught. At the same time, the story of Pentecost is more than just a story about the Holy Spirit coming. It's easy to wrap ourselves in images of violent wind and tongues of flame and disciples speaking strange languages, or to think that the arrival of the Holy Spirit is the end of the story. But all this powerful imagery is presenting us with a powerful truth, that the Holy Spirit inspires us to see new visions and dream new dreams, and to use that surge of new energy to move God's kingdom forward. For our church, the Pentecost story is a call to each and every one of us, whether young or old or somewhere in between, whether female or male, whether you're new to the church or a longtime member, to share our visions and dreams with each other. I talked last Sunday about the importance of being a permission-giving congregation, to being receptive to the ideas and dreams of others and finding ways to support them. Our visions and dreams, individually and collectively, are the sparks that will shape the direction of the church as we are reborn together with new pastoral leadership in the near future. It doesn't mean what we're already doing as a church community is bad or that we need to change everything, but with new leadership come new opportunities for all of us to define and follow God's vision for our church. So what are your visions and dreams and hopes for this church we call home? What needs do you see crying out to be met in the world around you? And how might we as a faith community begin to address them? Where do you see people hungry or thirsty or naked or sick or in prison who need our practical help and need the good news? And what ignites your own passion? Are you challenged to help hungry children get healthy meals during the summer so they can have the energy to learn? Do you find energy in sending cards to those who are struggling just to let them know someone cares about them? Are you drawn to help feed people by planting a community garden? Are you called to help children in Africa get the health care they need? Are you inspired to sit and listen to those whose minds are challenged by Alzheimer's disease or other dementia, as they tell stories that few people take time to hear anymore? No matter where your passions are, there are people who need you. American theologian and writer Frederick Buechner challenges us to find our vocation, our direction in our faith life, by looking for, as he says, the place where our deep gladness meets the world's deep need. And if you're looking for inspiration as you dream new dreams, there are many examples in our world of people of faith being led by the Spirit and living out their faith in new ways. God is doing something new right down the road in Snellville. Once upon a time, a disciples congregation called Shiloh Christian Church worshiped and served on an 8-acre property in Snellville. Our own Frank Hawkins was an active part of Shiloh Christian Church. Over the years, worship attendance declined and the church shrank to a size that was unsustainable. The church gave their building to the Georgia Disciples Region, but still owed money on a building loan to Disciples Church Extension Fund, or DCEF. The leaders of the church region and DCEF agreed that something revolutionary was needed in the building that Shiloh Christian Church had occupied. And so, through the DCEF Buildings for Transformation program, Shiloh Mission and Ministry Center was born. The goal of this center is to do a new thing with old resources, to repurpose the building and land for ministry today. DCEF provided funding to upgrade the facility with a new roof, new HVAC system, new paint and outdoor pavement, a new gate, and many other improvements. And through Shiloh Mission and Ministry Center, Amplify Christian Church was also born. Amplify is a unique disciples church in formation that combines regular virtual worship with small group in-person Bible study. But that's not all that's happening. Under the leadership of Reverend Orlando Scott, Amplify is reaching the community around them. They offer tutoring programs and social justice programs. They provide space for community board meetings. They've started a community garden to feed the people who live nearby. During COVID, Amplify Christian Church and Shiloh Mission and Ministry Center partnered with the Atlanta Food Bank to serve as a drop zone for pallets of food to be distributed to people in the Snellville area. And all of this ministry is being done by one dedicated minister and a mix of volunteers that include some of his friends and some people in the neighborhood who want to be part of a church doing such important outreach. Shiloh Mission and Ministry Center has a bright future. They're in the process of forming a board to make decisions and exploring new opportunities to reach the community around them. From the closing of Shiloh Christian Church came new dreams, and Shiloh Mission and Ministry Center is living into those dreams in ways they never expected. Creating a new mission and ministry center may not be the path that God intends for our church, but the Spirit is moving among us, and we're already seeing visions and dreaming dreams. There are so many possibilities around the world and right here in Lawrenceville. And the presence of so many possibilities, of so much need, can feel overwhelming. But the Spirit isn't moving us to do everything or to meet every single need. As a church, we need to find our passions and focus on living our God-given faith in ways that ignite those passions. It's also important to remember that our church can have more than one passion and more than one direction. Be cautious not to step on the dreams and visions of others. I mentioned last week three phrases I think should be banned from the vocabulary of churches. We've never done it that way, we've always, and we tried that once and it didn't work. Instead of inspiring people to see visions and dream dreams, these phrases shut down the excitement and creativity of the Spirit. Even if someone else's passion is not what excites you, or if you even if you think an idea won't work when you first hear it, take time to really listen and hear. I'm sure some members of Shiloh Christian Church were unsure about handing their building and property over to the region and DCEF to do something revolutionary. And yet they kept listening and praying, and they kept talking until they discerned the direction that God was calling them. God's mission for our church may also come from surprising places, because the Spirit works among us in surprising ways. And I especially encourage us to take time to recognize the presence of the Spirit among the youth and young adults in our midst, and to listen closely to their visions and dreams for our church. There is a role for everyone as we move forward into our new future together. My prayer for all of us, including myself, and for Lawrenceville First Christian Church as a loving and welcoming community of faith, is that we experience the presence of the Holy Spirit, whether it be a violent wind or the gentlest of breezes, and that we find the courage to live out our vision and dreams together. And may the Spirit give us all the energy, strength, and guidance we need as we continue on our journey as followers of Christ. Amen.